Here today I'm going to tell you why the housing market is in massive trouble. Before I get to that though, I need to let you know you can get this series as a podcast anywhere in the world for free on all major podcasting platforms: iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, and more. You can get this as a part of the I Love Value Investing podcast anywhere in the world for free. Okay, so last week I talked about why banks were in massive trouble. Massive trouble that could lead, and the trouble that they're in could lead to economic devastation we've never seen in this country. Yes, worse than the Great Depression, potentially, in my opinion. Today, I want to talk about a part of that, but specifically today, I want to focus on why the housing market is in gigantic trouble as well. So, like with my video last week where I talked about banks, I talked a lot about this in March and April when I was doing Facebook Lives about the crisis and what people should expect and what could happen if we get to kind of 3, 4, or 5 months in and we're still having major issues with the coronavirus and closures and people not paying the bills and stuff like that. Those resources will be linked below this video, so make sure to check those out for a reference to these. But today I want to focus pretty much entirely on the troubles that are coming in the housing market. Before I do that though, I need to let you know what's going on now currently in the United States, if you're not in the United States. So the housing market from 2010-ish to March 2020-ish, so about 10 years, has recovered and then gone pretty much straight up in most parts of the US. I wouldn't say we're in a bubble. There are pockets of overvaluation, San Francisco, New York, Silicon Valley area, San Diego, LA, other parts of the West and other parts of the Northeast, and probably Miami would fall into that too. There are pockets of cities in the United States that are overvalued in terms of the real estate. But it's not to a degree like it was with the rampant speculation and stuff like that in 2006, 2007, 2008. For example, in the Tampa area where I live south of Tampa in a town called Ruskin. It's right on the edge of Riverview. It's a large suburb of Tampa, or of Tampa. And I've lived here, me and my family lived here almost 5 years now. We bought our first house, or we stayed in a townhouse when we first got down here. In, so 5 years ago, that'd be 2015-ish. So we got here in October. So yeah, October 2020 will be 5 years. So 2015 time frame, we got down here. We rented a townhome to kind of learn the area because we were brand new to the area. We visited a couple times, but we were brand new looking for a home. Sorry, I hit my desk. So we wanted to figure out where we wanted to live, where the kids were going to go to school, where we kind of wanted to be for the amenities, the restaurants, the stuff like that, the kids' school, all that kind of stuff. So we stayed in a townhouse first. Then we moved to our first house. And when we first moved here, the market was down still. We got a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house on conservation land, or with the that backed up to conservation land for 162, which is super cheap. Super cheap. there's no way other way to put it. We sold that house almost 2 years ago now to move into our house we're currently in. And we sold that house for almost a $30,000 profit in 2.5-3 years because the market just, it recovered, or it was still down when we first moved here, but it's recovering rapidly the first 3 years we moved here. Since that time, it's continued to rise as more people move into this area. So again, I'm going to speak specifically to my area because I know it well as a real estate agent here and somebody who lives here. I know this area well, but this is going on a lot in the Southeast and the South as well. I read an article, I think this a year or two ago, that 50,000 people a year are moving to this area where I live. To put that into context, the city I grew up in Rapid City, South Dakota, maybe like in an entire 45-mile radius of that city limits, there's maybe 80,000, 90,000 people in the entire area. So about 60% of the area I grew up in is moving to this area now. So housing prices, because of that, have gone. They've recovered. They were recovering still when I got down here, but in the 5 years that I moved here, they're going straight up. But it's still bubble territory, in my opinion, no. But it's becoming, before this crisis hit, kind of questionable if we were in bubble territory. Again, I don't think we're there yet to that degree, but housing prices are going straight up because so many people are moving here. Building is insane, all that stuff. Again, this is happening a lot in the South, Southeast, Southwest, and kind of the Sun Belt, the quote-unquote Sun Belt areas. So this has improved the housing market here enormously. Housing prices are going up. And in March, when this crisis hit, one of the first questions I got from people who know that I know how to evaluate real estate from an investment perspective, and also that I'm a real estate agent here, asked my thoughts on what I think was going to happen to the real estate market. Again, this will be linked below, but kind of a review of that for those who don't want to watch is I said, as of right now, it's fine. If this goes on 3, 6, 9, 12 months, there's going to be trouble. I don't know how fast it's going to be, but there's going to be trouble. Because people won't be able to pay their mortgages, which is going to affect the banks and their ability to not only make money, but to give loans to more people, which I talked about in last week's video, why banks are in massive trouble. And that if people can't buy as many houses or get as much house for the loan as they were able to get before based on worse terms, that it was going to make the housing market fall. Again, I don't know to what degree, if it's going to be 10%, if it's going to be a massive correction, I have no idea. But that was my thoughts back in kind of March when this first started. Fast forward to today in mid-July. So what was that, 4 months later? And we're still dealing with the coronavirus. We're still dealing with mass unemployment. We're still dealing with other stuff that I'm going to get to in terms of forbearances, which are shocking. I'll run through the numbers on that and how to evaluate that. And in my area right now, the housing market is absolutely on fire, which may surprise you, but especially if you're outside the United States. But it's on fire so much because of the Federal Reserve and the United States government lowering interest rates to pretty much zero. Interest rates on home loans have dropped from, we got our house loan at 4.75% interest rate almost 2 years ago. And I think we're looking into possible refinancing now, and we can get around 20%. So interest rates on home loans, if you have decent credit and you have decent money you can put down on stuff, it's just absolutely cratered. It's going to save you $200 to $500 a month, depending on the size of your mortgages you're looking for. So because of this, because of the low rates, the housing market is on fire in this area right now. again, do I think it's voluntary? Probably not. Do I think it's getting kind of on that level? Yes. But the bigger problem here that the housing market is going to face is the continued mass unemployment, the continued just explosion of cases of coronavirus, and the forbearances. We'll talk about all these, but the most important of these is the forbearances, in my opinion, which is mostly not controlled, but leading from the mass unemployment. So as of this recording, there are an estimated 32 million Americans on continuing federal or state unemployment benefits. So they got laid off or fired or whatever the terminology is from their job due to the coronavirus factors or whatever. And they've been laid off, and 32 million people are getting benefits now from either the state that they live in or the federal government. That's almost 10% or more than 10% of the entire U.S. population, and it's about 20 to 25% of the quote-unquote working age population, which is ages between 15 and 64. That is horrific. Unemployment rates we haven't seen since the Great Depression. The official unemployment rate, I think, is like 11 or 12% or something like that. The unofficial, which I think is the more true rate, because it shows people who have stopped looking for work and who are getting paid but aren't working, that is around 15-ish percent. We haven't seen unemployment like this since the Great Depression. So that leads to many factors. Specifically, last week we talked about the banks and how that's going to affect the banks. How is that also affecting the housing market? Because of the mass unemployment and people getting laid off due to the coronavirus and the closures and all that stuff that's still going on, there are an estimated, just came out last week, that there are, as of the end of April, so this is April to May, 2.5 months behind the data. But this is the government data. I think it's from the, where is it at? And I'll link the source below this. Mortgage Bankers Association. This came out on July 16th. So 3 days ago as of this recording, that an estimated 8.2% of all mortgages, or 4.1 million loans, are now in forbearance. Again, for those about you outside the United States, what is a forbearance? Difference between forbearance and foreclosure. Forbearance is you're not able to pay your mortgage or credit card or whatever, auto loan or whatever, due to unforeseen circumstances, essentially. Coronavirus, death in the family, blah, blah, blah. It has to be something serious to be able to put your loan into forbearance. But because of that, you don't have to pay your mortgage for XYZ amount of months. In this case, in the United States, the CARES Act, which got passed in March by the Congress and Senate and then the President of the United States, put an end to foreclosures until at least on federal loans, federally guaranteed loans, I think is the terminology, until at least July 31st. They're working on fixing that and amending that, but at least until now, or at least until the end of this month, foreclosures are ended on federal loans, so are evictions on from apartment buildings if you live in a rental property. This is, again, this ends in about 2 weeks, unless they can figure it out. I don't know what they're going to do at this point. Frankly, it doesn't matter, though, because of the stage we're at now. To put this into context, 4.1 million homes, the average U.S. household has 2.52 people in it. So that is affecting approximately 10.3. That doesn't sound right. Let's do the actual numbers. Well, that's right. So 10.3 million people in the United States who live in a house are in danger of being foreclosed on when this forbearance or when this restriction on foreclosures goes away. 10.3 million Americans. That's horrific by itself. But to put this in the context of economics, here's what this means for the banks and other loan servicers who not, are not getting paid. So the average U.S. home loan is $1,500 a month. So that is 6.2 rounded up $1 billion a month that banks and other loan services are missing out on since, let's say, March. So that is 3 months ish. So that's 18.6 billion dollars mortgage and mortgage service companies and banks are missing out on in payments from March until today. That is an absurdly high number. To put this into more context, the average, or the, not the average, the worst rate that we saw in, or actually, let me fix that. I'm looking at my notes here. So the worst 30 days past due mortgages got during the worst of the Great Recession, the biggest housing bust of our most of our lifetimes, was 2%. Right now, we're sitting at 3.4%. This means that the housing market is in massive, massive, massive trouble. The worst of the Great Recession saw a 2% 30 days past due on their mortgage rate, or 2% of all mortgages were past due, 30 days past due, sorry. In the worst of a Great Recession, the worst housing crisis most of us has seen in our lives. And we're sitting at 3.4% today. And the crazy thing about this data is that according to this data, delinquencies, which is this is called a delinquent loan, these don't include people who entered forbearance but hadn't missed a payment before that. So once, due to regulations and stuff around the stopping of foreclosures until July 31st. So once July 31st hits, if there's no new legislation passed preventing foreclosures and evictions, what these numbers say is that this crisis, this housing crisis, could get worse than the worst of the Great Recession. Again, the probably worst in most of our lifetimes housing crisis that we've lived through. And this is going to get worse, or it's already worse than that, but people just can't be foreclosed on or evicted now, again, which is probably, like I said in the other videos, back in March and April, it's probably the humane thing to do, probably the right thing to do. But at some point, if these people owning these properties aren't getting paid, then they can't pay their loans, which affects the banks even more. Which gets us to the problem we had last week. This is an entire cycle of horribleness, frankly, that, again, I don't know what the answer is. I said this in March and April. I don't know what the answer to these questions, to these problems are. But I'm telling you, this is what's happening now, or I told you months ago, this is what is likely to happen if we're still dealing with this crisis 3 to 6 months in. Again, why 3 months? That is my estimate after evaluating thousands of companies all over the world. That is kind of my estimate on how long companies, most companies can last without getting paid. It's about 3 months. We're now 4 or 5 months into this in the US. And coronavirus cases are ex just absolutely exploding. We've broken a record, I think a daily record here in the United States, something like 5 or 6 days out of last 7. We've broken a made a new record, specifically where I live in Florida. We saw the highest case we've seen so far is 15,300 cases in one day. So things are getting worse in terms of the coronavirus stuff. But now, instead of March, where there was somewhat margin of safety, people had, or companies had, some kind of cash reserves, those cash reserves are running out. So if companies aren't getting paid, they can't stay open, which means more layoffs, which means more unemployment, which means more problems with foreclosures and forbearances, which means less money available for everybody else to get loans. These numbers are horrifically bad. Horrifically bad. They're the worst numbers, actually, in this article I'm going to link. The worst numbers on record for, I think it's 30 days past due mortgages in U.S. history since data is going, since data began being collected on this in 1999. I don't know what the answer is. But the housing market, again, unless something rapidly changes, banks are in trouble, which is what I talked about last week, which puts the entire credit market at trouble, which puts more job in trouble. Because of these things, the mass unemployment and the ongoing people not paying their bills or not able to pay their bills and the huge rate of forbearances plus the moratorium on foreclosures and evictions ending on July 31st, again, unless barring some kind of new legislation passage. Housing market's in big trouble, real quick. Well, depending on your version of real quick as in about 2 weeks from this recording, 2, 3, 4 months from back in March and April. Housing market's in big trouble. I don't know if it's going to affect every area the same nationwide. It probably won't. Like, just like back in the Great Recession, it I was still living in South Dakota at that time, and the housing market didn't crash at all there. In the bigger cities, it will probably affect the bigger cities more. Florida, Arizona, Nevada, California, New York. Probably most of the West Coast, the kind of more expensive areas, the West Coast and the Northeast, and probably the bigger cities in Florida and Arizona and Nevada, stuff like that, will get hit hard again. Do I know what that means for the individual housing market in your city? No, I don't. I don't. Nobody knows that because every single real estate market is different in every single area, every single town. It's different. Do I know how bad it's going to crash? No, I don't. Do I expect it to last as long as the Great Recession and the housing recovery? It probably topped in 2006, 2007, didn't really pick up kind of back to normal until 2010 to 2012-ish. Do I think it's going to take years to get back there? I don't know, frankly. Depends on how long the coronavirus stuff, the mass unemployment, depends on how long these issues, these kind of other underlying issues take to figure out. It doesn't mean you should buy or sell your house relatively soon. Potentially it does. Again, it depends on your city, depends on your personal situation, depends on a bunch of different factors. But what I can say is, again, I warned about this kind of stuff in March and April with the banks and the housing market. And unfortunately, we're still dealing with this stuff. So this stuff is coming true. And I wanted to warn you guys about this today because as of right now, I don't think I've seen one thing negatively in kind of the mainstream media about the housing market. Everybody's talking about how the housing market is going up and how the stock market is going up and the housing market is still going up in most places. But if we get to July 31st and there's no resolution to the or new kind of extension on the foreclosures and evictions, there are going to be mass foreclosures begun and there are going to be massive eviction processes begun. But again, it doesn't matter. Let's say U.S. Congress, U.S. Senate, and the President agree to a deal to extend this foreclosure and the eviction moratorium. That's just like putting a piece of paper. That's not even putting a Band-Aid on a cut. That's putting this piece of paper right here on a cut, because that still doesn't solve the problem of the mass unemployment and those peoples and their families and their communities not spending money because they don't have as much money. It doesn't solve the problem of the banks still not getting paid, or the property owners not being able to pay their mortgages because they're not getting paid, which means they can't pay the banks. So what's going to happen? Are the banks going to call their loans? Is that going to lead to defaults for the property owners? Is that going to lead to defaults? If it does, is that going to lead to selling properties at huge discounts, or people getting kicked out no matter what because of new ownership? Is that going to lead to the banks having to either write down part of their loan, which essentially means to cut part of their loan value, or are they going to extend the terms? Both are bad for banks because it means less revenue, income, and profits for them. I don't think anybody knows the answers to these questions. Again, I don't. But for reference to how bad this is going to get, watch the video on the banks that I talked about last week. Again, that should be linked below this. But if something isn't done relatively soon to get us kind of back to normal, again, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how it's going to be done. But what I am saying is that based on the numbers that are already here today, right now, if something's not fixed soon, the economic devastation, or there's going to be economic devastation that we think it's bad now, if these things aren't fixed relatively soon, it's going to get much worse. For, again, everybody, down to the individual homeowner or renter, to the property owner, to the values of the properties, to the mortgage lenders, to the mortgage brokers, to the banks, to home taxes, or taxes on property taxes that go to things like schools and fire departments and police departments. That also means that those haven't been getting paid for 3 to 4 months now, which you see in, I think this was a city in California, might have been the state of California, said that they were going to raise property taxes pretty significantly. Might have been New York, actually, now I think about it. They were going to raise property taxes pretty significantly to fill their bills because they aren't getting paid property taxes nearly as many property taxes because people are unemployed and their homes are in forbearance. This, again, I talked about this in the videos in March and April. This is an entire cycle that is horrific. And now it's looking like it's beginning to spin out of control because, again, I said in March and April, I don't know what the answer is. I don't. But now, that back then, there was a margin of safety. There, people had more cash. People had just been getting revenue and profits and cash flow. Some of these businesses have been getting paid for 3 or 4 months now. It's going to get really bad. Again, no matter if the foreclosures and evictions kind of go away or are stopped for another 6 months or say, that still doesn't solve the problem of the building owners and the banks not getting paid. So what happens? I don't know. Some of the options I talked about earlier, something else. If you work in the mortgage arena, maybe you have an idea. But frankly, like I said in last week's video, at the end of last week's video, if we don't fix this issue soon, it's going to lead to devastation in the housing market for both people who own their homes and people who rent. It's going to be devastation for both. Frankly, again, like we haven't seen maybe ever. I think the banking issue could get worse than the Great Depression stuff that I've talked about in some past videos. I'm not sure about how bad the mortgage and the kind of housing market could get, but if these underlying issues aren't fixed, it's going to get bad. relatively quickly. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, especially if you're in the mortgage or housing arena. Oh, before I do that though, one other thing to watch out for: home builder stocks. You see home builders talking about how, I think, I don't remember the name of the company, but it was a bigger one, as a public company. So they have record home builds nationwide. I think those are their best numbers ever, or best number this year, one of the two. Watch out for home builder stocks. Watch out for mortgage companies stocks. Watch out for banks. I said to avoid banks. I wouldn't touch a bank right now, because of the issues that I talked about in last week's video and the massive losses they're going to face. They've already begun facing, and that they're going to face. Stay away from home builder stocks, mortgage stocks, anything, probably housing REITs, commercial building REITs, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be bad, really bad. And I didn't even talk about the commercial stuff today. I just talked about housing, how that's going to affect you and I. The another thing that's going to be massively affected is commercial real estate. Apartment buildings, office buildings, malls. People can't have their shops open, for example, in a mall. They can't pay their leases. The property owner can't pay the loans back to the bank. And that's another issue that we, again, didn't even talk about today. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. Again, especially if you're in the housing arena, I'd love to hear your thoughts. But based on the numbers today, this is what the numbers are saying, and it's likely to get very bad very soon in the U.S. housing market. If you're overseas, I'd love to hear about what's going on overseas in your markets in terms of the housing arena. Are people getting back to work now? Are things opening up more? Are people paying their bills more? I'd love to hear all that. Remember, you can get this as a podcast in the world for free in the I Love Value Investing podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like, love, share, subscribe, and hit the notification bell so you're notified every time we release a new video, and release new videos all the time. If you're listening to this out of a podcast, like, love, share, subscribe, download, and we really appreciate if you left a review. The more reviews, listens, and reviews we get on our channels, the more people we can help. And again, I'd love to hear your comments on all this. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, think I'm wrong, think I'm right, I'd love to hear what you think about this. And until next time, have a great day. Talk soon. Bye.